Incoming transmission. Incoming transmission. Let's boogie. B-Movie Boys, where bad movies get the love they deserve and the respect that they don't. I'm Dave Michaels.
And I'm Brian Betts.
Hey!
Hi!
Hey!
Buzz, buzz, motherfuckers.
I am so excited to do this, because this has been an idea we've kind of thrown around just a little bit in the background. I'm like, that'd be fun. But no, really, it would be fun.
Months now?
It has been months now. And it makes me happy that we agreed to try this. Here, at least on Patreon, with a movie that we've already talked about before.
Yeah.
So we're not like burning anything.
Yeah. We get a good feel for how it should go with something that's familiar.
The idea for B Movie Boys is an exploration of cinema, but like really, really low budget.
Dave, what is a B movie?
Well, Webster's Dictionary defines it as a cheaply produced movie, and that's it.
That's
nothing else.
A very simplified version.
It really is. A B movie is typically really low budget compared to like a mainstream type movie. You have lesser known actors sometimes. You have lesser known directors sometimes. They're typically on the shorter side for running times. Usually you get a lot of horror, sci-fi, action, comedy is a big thing in all of these things.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes, mostly unintentionally, possibly. But it's a lot more experimental than anything else. It's people who have this vision that they want to put on the screen, but they don't have the wallet to do it.
Yeah. You get people with a dream and just the grit to make it happen.
This is the celebrate the bad part of our motto. We're usually tear down the good, celebrate the bad. It's time to celebrate the bad.
A lot of bad celebrations.
But not today, because we are talking about 1984 or 86's The Toxic Avenger, directed by Michael Herz and Uncle fucking Lloyd fucking Kaufman.
Friend of the show.
We've talked about this in the past.
We have, very early on.
It was very early on, and we talked about it with a caped mindset.
Exactly. We wanted to know how super this movie was.
How super was it?
It got a 4.5 out of 10.
That's either higher or lower than it deserves. I'm not sure. But we're not looking at it as a caped movie. We're looking at it as a B movie. We want to know what makes a great B movie.
What is that quality that makes it the B-est of B movies?
Is it a good movie? No. Is it a great movie? Abso-fucking-lutely.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Does Jerry Seinfeld ask, do you like jazz? Sorry, different B movie. My bad.
Different B movie. I can't believe that you had to do that this early on.
I had to get it out of the way. I've been dying to make the joke for the last 7 minutes already.
Do you want to dive into this new scoring system that we have very scientifically put together?
Let's get into it. First thing we should do is retell the story of the Toxic Avenger, I think.
I like how we're treating this like Passover.
Yeah, I mean, there comes a time.
There does come a time. It's a little bit different because story and motivation kind of runs throughout. It's not going to be its own category anymore.
Right.
This is so exciting. Like, if you could feel my nipples right now. Oh, my God. Diamond cutters.
I was only going to say glass cutters, but diamond, damn.
Well, we're about to get to nipples in this movie. There's prominent nipples in this movie. And they're not so much diamond cutters as much as they are, like, dinner plates.
Melvin Ferd Junko III. A scrawny 98-pound janitor at Tromaville Health Club is mercilessly bullied by four members, Bozo, Slug, Wanda, and Julie, who trick him into wearing a pink tutu and hugging a sheep, ultimately chasing him out of the second-story window straight into a vat of toxic waste, only in Jersey.
Everything you just said, you put the right words together to form gold. We are on the right path right now.
It's a good start.
I have not watched this movie since we originally talked about it.
Same.
and going back to it, I like put it on in the background while I was working, and I realized that I was just watching the movie at a point because I was so sucked in all over again.
It's funny because after seeing like 2, 3, and 4, it was nice to get back to the charm of the original.
This is so much more charming than 2, 3, and 4.
2, 3, and 4 are out there and wacky in their own way, but this has, there's something a little more serious about it, which is weird to say.
It's insane to say because of all the words you just said there.
Yeah.
But the chemicals are going to mutate him into a hideously deformed creature of superhuman size and strength, the Toxic Avenger. Though he's going to maintain his moral compass, desire to fight evil, and passion for mops.
As you do.
Did he have any of those things originally?
I don't know. We don't really know much about Melvin Ferd other than he mops, kind of. He's actually not even that good at it.
No, and he wants to do a makeout with Julie.
He does want to do a makeout with Julie. And he gets a really goofy look on his face whenever he sees boobs.
I get it.
Which happens a lot for this guy.
He does pretty well in the boob seeing area of life.
Like, it's just been see him a couple days of his journey as a 98-pound scrawny nerd janitor, and he sees plenty of boobs in that time.
Yeah, he's not doing bad.
I don't know that he has a desire to fight evil, though.
I'm happy he gains that desire to fight evil, and he, like, sniffs evil out, which is even more insane, but we'll
absolutely
get there.
Absolutely insane. Cigar Face and his goons, Knuckles and Nipples, try to bribe Officer O'Clancy. When he refuses, Melvin has to intervene on their attempt to castrate the officer, killing Knuckles and Nipples and leaving a mop as his signature, though Cigar Face escapes and vows revenge.
It's the first fights in this movie. We get gratuitous violence. Stage is set.
Oh, yeah. We're ripping off noses. We're popping out eyeballs.
I shouldn't even say the stage is set because we already had the bullies who like to do hit-and-run things.
Yeah, I don't know how this didn't get mentioned.
Fun? No, it's insane. This is what happens when you let AI do your synopsis for you. The bullies like to do hit and runs, and they have a scoring system.
An elaborate scoring system, which doesn't sound that crazy.
No, ours is arbitrary. Everything we've ever put together is arbitrary. Theirs is somehow more arbitrary.
Yeah, I don't understand. How many points for a kid and a bike?
25.
It was 28 if you get the kid and the bike.
And the bike, which means that I don't know if the bike's worth 3 and the kid's worth 25.
Maybe.
But goodness gracious, they wreck that kid.
Kids under 12 are worth double.
I mean, as they should be. I get it. They're harder to hit, smaller target. It's like the Patriot, aim small, miss small.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But I really like how they hit this kid. This kid starts army crawling his way off the street. They reverse the car, run over his head, and pop it.
Yeah,
they pop the kid's head.
There's no points for just grazing
the
kid.
The tone's established.
And if you're wondering, do they show this kid's head getting popped by a car tire? Yeah, of course they do.
And why don't they don't show, which they would have in 2, 3, and 4, is a scoreboard.
That's
you
true.
You know they would have.
They absolutely would have. But Toxie has rescued his first person in Officer O'Clancy.
He gets rejected by his mother when he goes home. So he sets up a makeshift home in a local junkyard, which is also like a toxic waste dump, and he begins a vigilante spree against Tromaville's scum.
Just taking out the bad guys, like at a Mexican joint where 3 criminals shoot a customer, threaten a baby, kill a blind woman's guide dog, and then attempt to rape her. Luckily, Melvin massacres them with culinary justice.
Does he, though? Because I remember watching this back, and I remembered some of the fun kills that were going on in this scene especially, because I had a very badly pee, but then we got into the taco joint and I was like, I'll hold it. I don't want to ruin the flow that's happening right here. I'll create my own flow in a minute. But watching it, he ends up making a sundae out of someone's face.
Yeah.
Like, he puts ice cream in the guy's mouth, puts whipped cream, and then he puts him under the ice cream mixer. But does he kind of? It's the weirdest one of this entire movie.
It is weird because, he's basically sundae boarding this criminal and then
Sunday
puts his
boarding.
Face under the milkshake mixer.
But then you also get the one guy who got his hands deep fried.
Right. I imagine you just die in shock at that point.
Yeah, I'd imagine. Then you got the one guy who got put in a pizza oven.
After
he had his arm ripped off clean.
Yeah.
Also, I forgot the dog got shot. That was insane.
I did too. And I was like, oh no, they're going to do it. I forgot they're going to do it.
You see this dog laying on its side, still breathing.
Still breathing, but very dead apparently.
But his guts are like leaking out, and then you realize, like, somehow not worse than Marley and me. This is fine.
Like, I know that dog's actually alive, so we're okay. Toxie takes the blind woman Sarah home, where they develop a romantic relationship despite his monstrous appearance, because she can see past his toxic exterior. Well, she can't really see anything, so it's not a problem.
It is the perfect love interest.
It is.
You can't deny that.
There's surprisingly few blind jokes in comparison to the other movies.
It was mind-blowing watching it. It's a different actress in this first one.
Right.
But in 2, 3, and 4, I mean, they lean on the blind
jokes.
It
is nonstop blind jokes in 2, 3, and 4.
They treat it like the Helen Keller card in Apples to Apples. It's a trump card every time.
Absolutely.
But it's not.
And it's funny because you actually texted me and said, I can't believe how few blind jokes there were compared to the other ones. And I told that to Stephanie, who watched the movie with me, and she was like, that was... Because she was surprised at how many there were already.
Oh, that was nothing.
Like, that's nothing that compared to the sequels.
Nothing. Like, this girl could properly act. Kind of.
Kind of. She wasn't quite sure where to look.
No, but it's so much better.
It is.
Than what it becomes. As the Toxic Avenger, Melvin has this ability to sniff out crime. He's able to find crime. And there's a weird doctor man who tells us this as he's like talking to a class. Says, I don't know how he does it, but he can smell crime.
He finds evil.
But he targets like drug dealers and pimps and prostitutes, and he's becoming this local hero. You see the newspapers that occasionally fly up. I stopped and I paused every single time, as you should do whenever you see a newspaper. Nothing interesting. It was very boring.
Yeah, it's all in the headlines there.
Very big missed opportunity movie.
But Tromaville loves its monster hero, its unnamed monster hero.
They don't name him until the very end, and it's just in a voiceover.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty convinced that they didn't have a name for this movie until way after they finished it.
I'm not convinced they had a script for this movie until they were well into production. Because I know it was supposed to be this kind of satire on 80s workout.
Right.
And that's why, like, they had the gym and the body talk, body talk.
That song.
Such a good song.
So good.
And then it became the Toxic Avenger.
Right.
They might not have a name. That's not important. This movie fucks. I don't give a shit.
Mayor Belgoody, secretly the mastermind behind Tromaville's extensive criminal operations, grows increasingly concerned as Melvin's vigilante activities threaten to expose his corruption.
Worst actor in the movie?
He's pretty bad.
He's got to be up there.
But, I don't know. We do still have Julie.
You're stressing me out, Julie! You're stressing me out!
Julie was stressing me out this whole movie. She is not a good actress.
She's not a good actress, and I don't know why. Julie gets got in one scene, but it's like weird that she's the one running away from Toxie.
Yeah.
And you're just like, this feels weird that Toxie's chasing her. Am I supposed to feel for Julie even though I know she's a piece of shit?
Right.
Like, I don't know how that works.
This girl really likes killing people. Am I supposed to feel bad for her right now? In this elaborate chase scene.
Some people aren't happy with Toxie, who they're not calling Toxie yet, but I'm calling Toxie because...
Yeah.
I adore him.
But the people that aren't happy with him, they're bad people, so it's okay.
Melvin survives an assassination attempt that's orchestrated by Cigarface. He's going to leap to safety while they're doing this whole surround him with guns thing, and they all fire. They all get each other.
All six gunmen.
Of course they do.
Amazing.
If you thought Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark was great with the guy wielding the sword and Indy just shoots him because he had the flu, thanks IMDb. This is that, but better.
I especially like... that before he starts jumping, you hear, oop!
That's so good.
Seeking revenge against his former tormentors, Melvin attacks Wanda in the sauna, confronts Julie with scissors, like we talked about when he's chasing her, and causes Bozo and Slug to die in a fiery car crash after they attempt to run him down.
These are vicious kills.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this doesn't feel like Vigilante. This feels like this is the horror villain going after the teens.
Yeah, if they hadn't already established how terrible these teens are, you might feel bad for them.
You might, but you don't.
Apparently there's a deleted scene where it turns out Toxie didn't kill Wanda or Julie. It just really injured Wanda's butt and cut off all of Julie's hair.
Julie got off easy then.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
But apparently they run into each other while they're filing a police report about the monster, and they both laugh at the other one's inconvenience.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
So happy that got cut. We just assume they're dead. So much better.
It's apparently still in the director's cut and the Japanese version.
Cannot believe there's a director's cut.
Believe it.
Toxie's going to kill this seemingly innocent elderly woman who's getting her son's cum-stained jeans dry cleaned.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that to be funny. That is exactly what's happening.
That is exactly what's happening. To even mention, she's a little person.
She is a little person. And we later discover that she was actually running a human trafficking organization. And the mayor's like, no, we got to cover that up. We can't do that because this is Simeon Lynn's person. But Melvin becomes horrified by like these violent tendencies that he has. And he flees into the woods with Sarah. They live in a tent. And the mayor's going to call on the National Guard to hunt Toxie down.
Apparently he doesn't have a lot of faith in his police force led by his Nazi chief of police.
You're not just saying that. He talks in German, says Achtung, and salutes.
Yeah, no, he's not a Nazi like how we use it regularly throughout our lives these days, but like he's actually a Nazi.
Right, like when they remade this movie, hopefully, not out yet, the remake of it with Peter Dinklage.
Right.
I would imagine that if they still have the Nazi police chief, he's going to be driving a swastika car, a Tesla.
Of course.
And he's probably going to repeat, I'm bringing comedy back.
Can't even be funny anymore. When authorities locate Melvin and Sarah, the townspeople intervene to protect their mop-wielding hero. And Melvin's mother publicly identifies and accepts her mutated son.
Kind of. She just yells at the police officer, that's my son, that's my son.
That's my good boy.
I was actually surprised because they made a human shield around Toxie. And I'm genuinely surprised that the mayor didn't just light everybody up, because that's
this type of movie. I got the vibes from the mayor that he was the kind of guy who would be like, ah, fuck it, and start shooting people just to get the Toxie.
But instead, Melvin's going to expose the mayor and his corruption, and he's going to kill him by literally going up to him and saying, just going to check to see if you have any guts, to which he punches him in the stomach and pulls out his guts.
You gotta.
After he does that, Toxic Avenger celebrated as Tromaville's hero and continues his mission to mop up crime in the city. He runs into the sunset, literally.
Yeah, that's it. That's Toxic Avenger.
Brian, I absolutely adore this movie.
God, this movie's so fun.
I forgot how much fun this movie is. It's on YouTube if you guys want to watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's worth the revisit. It is so worth it.
It's also only $5 right now on Fandango at Home if you use that app.
There you go. Go get it. Go stop listening to this bullshit. Go watch that. It's so much better.
Just nonstop. What the hell are we watching from Stephanie the whole time? It was great.
I love it. She got the right reaction. Perfect. You ready to put the schluckometer into effect and see what it does?
Let's check out how this B movie is.
I have no idea. No clue how this is going to go. So this is exciting. Either.
Our first category is entertainment value.
It's a full-blown 10.
Absolutely. So entertaining. Is it intentionally entertaining? I actually think it is.
I actually do think it is.
I think this is completely intentional.
Yep. Well, that was an easy one to start with.
That was easy. Our next category is memorable characters.
I love Toxie. I love Melvin. I love Bozo yelling, stressing me out, Julie.
Stressing me out, Julie. Yeah, I also, Sarah.
Also Sarah, but I remembered damn near everyone from the first watch. It's been years.
Yeah, it's been, I think it was 2018 the first time we watched this movie. And I haven't seen it since. And every single person, I was like, oh yeah, I didn't forget about him. Except for the health club drug dealer who gets crushed with the...
I did forget about that one, you're right.
The weight through his face.
That is kind of out of nowhere.
And I kind of forgot about Mrs. Haskell, the human trafficker.
I'm going to go 8.
8.
That's enough people to forget, because you're absolutely right.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you remember Melvin, Toxie, Sarah.
I forgot about the mayor, tell you the truth.
Me too. That's actually kind of bad, because he is the main villain. But like, Bozo is so good.
He's so good.
Yeah.
And it's insane, because when they were filming this, shot all around Jersey, like Hackensack, Booton, Jersey
City.
So
much Booton.
The actors didn't really know what this movie was while they're doing it. They just got told, just go over the top. It's going to fit the tone for what we're doing. Just go over the top.
Just get crazy with it.
They didn't understand what this movie was till it was all thrown together. They're like, okay, now I get it.
Oh, that explains so much.
You're putting a lot of insane pieces of a puzzle together and hoping for the best.
Yeah. Apparently during pre-production, Vincent D'Onofrio was set to play the role of Bozo.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but he asked for a slight raise and was cut.
That's going to happen.
Vincent D'Onofrio asked for more money because he's Vincent D'Onofrio. And they're like, get out of here. We don't have it. Let's get Gary Schneider instead.
They always called him the discount Vincent D'Onofrio.
He was actually my pick to play Kingpin.
That's right.
You're stressing me out, Daredevil.
You're stressing me out, Daredevil.
We've been doing this too long.
Uh-huh.
Next category is genre exploitation.
So the genre for this, there's a few of them.
There
obviously
are
obviously comedy.
Definitely comedy.
Definitely horror.
Yes.
Definitely superhero.
Definitely superhero. Which I think was the unintentional one on this one.
Looking on IMDb, it's listed as B action, B horror, body horror, dark comedy, monster horror, satire, splatter horror, superhero action comedy. There's a lot of things there.
That is a lot. I'm wondering, what was it trying to be? Not so much, what did it end up being?
I would say body horror.
Yeah.
Satire, comedy.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Because they're so over the top that, I mean, nothing about this movie is being taken seriously, right?
No, no. I mean, Lloyd Kaufman in 75 was on the set of Rocky, and that's where he got the idea to do a movie set in a health club. And it was at Cannes Film Festival a few years later where they said that horror films weren't popular anymore, that he decided it was going to be a health club horror film. And it was originally titled Health Club Horror.
Yeah, it checks out. And with the comedy, Toxie gets nut shot so many times.
So many times.
So many times.
Mostly by Sarah.
Yeah, unintentionally. You know, that's like the blind joke, is that everything she does nut shots him.
Yeah. She opens the champagne.
And it works, too, because it's all so this good. Quick cutting. It exploits the shit out of everything, doesn't it?
It does.
It has to. It's only crutch.
When you go into a movie going, let's make it a horror movie because people aren't making horror movies anymore, you're already exploiting the genre.
Yeah, you
before
are.
Before you even
that's
start.
True. I'll go 9.
Yeah, I think 9's right.
Remember, we're trying to find the best B movie. We're
exactly.
trying to scale it as a B movie. So far, crushing it.
Absolutely crushing it. The next category is low budget ingenuity.
There's a lot here.
There's a ton.
The hardest thing that they had to deal with was the Toxie makeup.
Yeah.
It apparently took 3 to 4 hours to apply every single day. And they were running around New Jersey in the summer where it's nice and humid. And they had to keep touching it up constantly.
Well, yeah.
Jennifer Aspinall had to do it. And this is where she earned her stripes. She went on to do The Cell. She went on to do Men in Black. I think definitely paid her dues for that.
Speaking of Vincent D'Onofrio.
Outside of the makeup, they also had to do a lot of guerrilla shooting and a lot of cutting deals with people on location in order to get them to shoot. And sometimes they didn't all work out.
They were so budget conscious on this to the point that Pat Ryan, who plays the mayor, in one scene is laying almost completely naked next to this giant submarine sandwich. Well, they ate that sub.
They had to.
The crew ate that sub.
Oh, God.
The guide dog that was shot had to be trained to glide across the floor on command, and its guts were just spaghetti covered in gray paint.
Well, it's kind of like when the kid's head got crushed. It was just a watermelon stuffed with
right.
whatever organs they got from the butcher that morning.
Yeah, it was corn syrup, red food dye, and
good old chocolate syrup.
Butcher meat.
So good.
Instead of melon. And with a wig on it. That was it.
It all works, too, because I can't believe I'm going to say this, and Lloyd Kaufman's talked about this in his books. He followed the Sergei Eisenstein way of cutting, where you wanted to make it quick, like Battleship Potemkin, to really use juxtaposition in a really good way to hide things.
Yeah.
Like Lloyd Kaufman, you should not be talking about Sergei Eisenstein and Toxic Avenger in the same anything. But here we are.
Here we are. One of my favorite things they did to save money was Frank, the knife guy in the taco joint. The actor only has one arm.
It helps. It helps.
If you're trying to believably rip an arm off a guy, getting a one-armed guy is a good move. You save a lot of money that way.
It's kind of like with Sandman in Spider-Man 3. Didn't they use a guy who had an arm cut off for some of those things? Like when he punches through Spidey with the sand arm?
Oh, I think, yeah, you're right.
Sam Raimi taking tricks out of the Toxic Avenger playbook there.
It's got to be done.
This movie is absolutely brilliant for what it does. I have to go full-blown 10 for it.
10, yeah.
Have to. And still looked at today as a staple of low-budget ingenuity.
Yeah. It's worth mentioning that this film was a $500,000 budget.
Which is still crazy to me.
Yeah.
That it's even that much.
Yeah. That felt high to me. 10 for low-budget ingenuity. Next category is technical incompetence.
I don't know how much there is.
I don't either. I think this is pretty well shot.
it is pretty well shot, even to the point that they shot it on 16 millimeter and blew it up to 35 to get the grains.
Yeah.
Because it was cheaper to do that, and it got the look they wanted.
Yeah. I do have some problems with the first fight scene. It's a little dark. It's hard to see what's going on.
Well, they had to use practical lighting and then just kind of light key lighting wherever they could.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a stolen shot, so it's not like they have time to set up all the lights.
Oh, Uncle Lloyd, why'd you have to be so good at filming things?
We want to give you the best score possible, but damn it, you're so competent in the technical aspect.
It's pretty damn competent. I think I'm going zero.
I think it's a zero.
He knew what he was doing.
He knew damn well what he was doing. I mean, it's not his first rodeo.
It's not. That's so unfortunate or fortunate. I don't know which way to look at it.
Well, we'll make up for it in the next category. Quotes.
10. Easy 10. Easiest 10 in the world.
This movie starts, the first line of this movie is, would you take a look at that fucking guy? It's
so good. I still say, you're stressing me out, Julie, just
for
kicks.
All the time.
It's been years. Years.
It's my first day on the force and I'm chasing monsters.
Checking to see if this guy has any guts.
Hey, look, Frank, teeny boppers.
10. It has to be 10.
Next category is WTF moments.
There are so many in this movie.
They really don't stop.
They can't stop.
I have two that I wrote down, and we've already touched on one of them quite a bit.
Which one?
When they shot the guide dog.
Yep. Yep.
Apparently that's the scene that has gotten the most complaints.
As it should.
But the one that really bothered me, the one where I was like, I can't believe they're doing this. And it's actually the reason that Patrick Kilpatrick, yes, that's his real name, who plays Leroy, quit the movie. And it's because he had to point a shotgun at a baby.
It's insanity
it
that he had to do that.
Absolutely nuts.
Yeah, that actually bugged me a little bit.
I was uncomfortable. But it's definitely a WTF moment.
I think my biggest WTF moment was in the alley fight scene where he just plucks out the one bad guy's eyes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Just, I don't know why. I don't like eye stuff.
Yeah. Who does, really?
Like when you go on YouPorn and type in eye stuff, it's not what you want. It's not what you want.
Why are you typing it in, Dave? I think it might be secretly what you want.
Oh, step eye stuff? What? What is that?
Oh,
that's a weird sub.
Step eye? Obviously, there's the kid getting his head crushed by the car, too.
That's an easy one, though. You see that coming a mile away.
Yeah, but you don't expect him to show it as much as they do.
That's a good point. And you know what? In all fairness, when the kid's army crawling after he gets hit the first time, it made me think of the kid in Freddy Got Fingered in the restaurant when he's already kind of beat up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't like the blind girl almost getting raped. That bugged me.
No, that's never a fun depiction.
No, and especially because she wasn't using any products from Goop Wellness.
Oh, no.
I don't know. It's the best segue I got.
Yeah,
because we got
fine.
We got a few new things on Goop, my friend.
What's new on Goop?
The first thing that's new is they added an adventure challenge called Quickies.
Oh,
it's a fun way to mix things up on a date night. This set of 30 scratch-off cards offers different prompts for you and your partner to complete, all in the spirit of connecting, exploring, and boosting intimacy. Each card has icons to let you know what that challenge will look like in terms of budget, weather, and location. And each challenge is different, with options ranging from testing out new positions, coming up with code words, and the best part? Each challenge is 30 minutes or less. You're treating sex like a scratch-off, like you gotta go find an old penny and scratch it off, and then you gotta finger blast with your penny fingers, and I don't care for that at all.
Horny lottery.
Why does your hooch smell like 1984? Oh, now I know.
Yeah, let me touch you with these penny fingers.
Just letting you know, it costs $30. Can't believe it either. It's $1
That's
scratch
too much.
Card. Not even scratch and sniff, but what would you make it smell like? Ugh. Don't answer that. Do not answer that.
Like a candle from Goop.
It's very yeasty. The next one is the Made You Blush Kit. It's a limited edition set. It comes with everything you need for your ultimate Goop glow.
Oh, no.
It's got your color blur lip and cheek color of Venus, a soft fuchsia, and our famous tinted lip balm set. Also, just a fucking vibrator.
We'll just throw that in there.
That's all they threw in there. Yeah. They had just lip balms and blush, and they're like, fuck it, vibrator, $152, thanks.
They came for the makeup. They left satisfied.
They did. And the last one I have is just restraint tape. It's 100% PVC, non-stick design, vegan and cruelty-free, and there's 50 feet of it. There's only one review on it, and it's a one-star review. It does not say what they didn't like about it, but I have to imagine that it's just fucking tape. And it costs $55.
Oh, stop it.
$55.
That's more than a dollar a foot?
That's insanity.
You can't do that.
All sales final, by the way.
Well, yeah. Everything from that website's going to get goopy.
There you go. That's what's new on Goop.
What does that mean for our WTF moments?
Oh, there's quite a few.
I just had one of my own.
I'm going to go with an 8, strictly because we've seen this before.
Yeah.
It's no fault of this movie.
Right.
But it's an 8.
It's an 8.
I feel jaded, like an egg that I found on Goop.
Would it have been higher if it had been my first time? I don't know.
I don't know either, but it feels like a good baseline.
I agree. It's fair. And also, I like it, damn it. So yeah, 8.
Yep.
Our next category is The Audacity.
The Audacity. Why don't you explain what The Audacity means?
What did the filmmaker have in mind here? What was going through their insane mind when they came up with the premise of this film? Where did they get the audacity?
In Uncle Lloyd, we trust.
In Uncle Lloyd, we trust. This is a movie about a nerd who ends up in a vat of toxic waste and becomes a buff superhero who's omnipotently attracted to evil and kills people with a mop.
That's it. And you want to know what? Delivers. All around.
All in the sake of a message about keeping the earth clean, I think.
Oh boy, wait till we talk about Birdemic. Just give it time, man. You don't even know what you're saying right now.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a 10.
Yeah.
He had a vision and by golly, he realized it.
He had the audacity.
He had the audacity.
That is a 10. You know what else Uncle Lloyd had? Our next category, heart.
He had so much heart making this movie. The passion that he put into this thing. It's a $500,000 movie. Yeah, there's movies that cost less, but there's movies that cost more.
Way more.
Movies like this don't happen unless you care.
Absolutely.
Nobody sets out to make a bad movie on purpose. Nobody.
Right.
Why would you put your time and your effort into making something that's garbage?
There's no reason for it. Especially something that you're self-funding and self-producing at a low budget just because you think it needs to exist in the world.
I feel like this is probably where I should read some Letterboxd reviews.
Yeah.
To kind of capture the heart of what this movie is. There's a lot of 5 stars, but there's a ton of 4 stars. Like people who didn't want to go the whole way.
They're like, listen, I love it, but it's Toxic Avenger. So 4 stars.
So the first 4-star review. One of the most delightfully tasteless and unwholesome movies ever made, and probably the best, hey mom, watch this prank you can ever pull. It takes legitimate talent and dedication to be this excessively offensive, so God bless Troma for giving this world a superhero parody so heinous and obscene that it makes the gratuity of the boys look like the fucking Veggie Tales.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like it's become more and more popular to be over the top and grotesque. Just because.
But it does take legitimate talent and dedication to be this excessively over the top.
Absolutely.
And pull it off.
Absolutely.
On the flip side of it, a 2-star review, I can see why this is a cult favorite, but I found the whole thing annoying. I get that it was going for schlocky. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
You don't go for schlock. You earn schlock.
You earn schlock, as we're proving now. But it was too self-aware about how crappy it is. So that's an interesting twist.
Is that a bad thing?
That's kind of what we're trying to figure out. It practically screams in your face, look how bad this is. Isn't it funny? I like my stupid movies more earnest.
Oh, that's a fascinating take.
I think that those 2 reviews right there sum up kind of what we're going for here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the gamut, really.
I'll give you a third one, just because I have a third one. It's also a 4-star review. This is a John Waters movie for straight people. I love it.
That's a fun way of putting it.
Wrong.
Wow.
I feel like those first two reviews, though, absolutely capture the heart of what this is. Yes, it's here to shock you and entertain you, but also disgust you and turn you off.
Right.
It kind of makes it perfect.
Kind of does.
It lives on the edge of what a B-movie is going for, the experimentation of it, understanding how self-aware it really is, but leaning into it pretty heavily, and you either like it or you don't.
Right. Yeah, it's pushing the boundaries that a major studio would never let you. And it's putting that passion into it and making it, you know, trying to execute it at a level that people want to see.
Brian, I'm going with a 10 again.
It's a 10. It has to be a 10. And our final category, cult ability.
I mean, this is a classic. We picked it for a reason.
There is
this
a reason.
It's kind of cheating. Yeah. So.
I mean, this thing, despite an R rating, has produced a Saturday morning cartoon, a bunch of comic books, a musical. It's being rebooted / remade. It was actually already rebooted and remade in
like 2 years ago,
2023, but we're finally getting it released in August with Peter Dinklage and Kevin Bacon and Elijah Wood. Very excited. But yeah, obviously this is like one of the most cultable movies of all time.
It absolutely is. So it's another 10.
Three sequels too.
I don't know why, like when you said sequels, my first thought was it's either in Toxic Avenger 3, I think it is. Just the bus that they keep driving into a ditch. I cannot get that out of my head.
Yeah.
Just repeatedly driving a bus into a ditch. Why is that like ingrained in my head?
I don't know.
And it's insanity because it's like, I remember where I was when I heard about 9/11. I remember where I was when like COVID shut the world down. And I remember where I was watching this fucking bus repeatedly into this ditch.
I did find out since our last recording more about how much money this movie made. Apparently,
it's a ton.
Lloyd Kaufman let it out in an 1800. Yeah, okay.
1800. He's way ahead of his time.
In a 1989 interview with the Wall Street Journal, he said the movie made $150 million.
Do you believe that?
I do.
I kind of do too.
I do. Like, there's a lot of people who they say that and be like, ah, fuck off. No, you didn't make that kind of money. But this thing made $140,000 opening in 45 theaters.
It did. And I mean, Lloyd Kaufman is looked at as one of the heroes of independent film.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get James Gunn without Lloyd Kaufman.
You don't get Kevin Smith or James Gunn or, yeah. I mean, this movie is listed as a influence for a lot of very famous directors and actors and writers, producers, you name it.
11?
11 on cultability. I'm here for it. Yeah. I think it's the right move.
This scale now is truly arbitrary.
Completely arbitrary.
No clue.
There's nothing to compare it to either, because all we know is this movie is this percent schlockometer.
It's this good out of 100 in terms of being a B movie.
Yeah, it's this good at being bad. The final score for the Toxic Avenger is 86.
Great, I think.
That sounds good. Sounds high on
it a sounds
scale.
Like it's a good base mark.
It's a very good starting point.
There will be better B movies. There's going to be a lot of worse B movies, I'm sure. I don't know which way is worse. Is it a golf thing?
Is worse good? I don't even know anymore.
Oh, man.
This is an interesting experiment.
I love this experiment. Thank you for indulging us in this experiment. Let's see if we go forward.
Yeah.
The list is long.
The list
is delightful.
Long. Speaking of which, I actually got an email from Mr. Phil Hawkins.
Hi, Phil.
Who wanted to let us know that we convinced him to watch Craven.
Oh, did we?
Apparently. If only to witness another over-the-top Russell Crowe acting performance. But of course, he's acting performance.
He is acting. That's being.
He is looking forward to exploring B-movies with us. He's never seen Toxic Avenger, but he's going to cross it off his list. But he wanted to nominate 1984's The Toughest Man in the World, starring Mr. T as an inner-city tough guy with a heart of gold. He enters a strongman contest to save the local youth center. He sings the opening theme song. It's free on YouTube.
You had me at free on YouTube.
Also, Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. He's never seen the first one.
As you do. Yeah, whatever Phil wants, Phil gets, in my mind.
We have some B-movie nominations already. I love it.
He's got his finger on the pulse of the
Of the us.
People. Of the us. This is fun.
This is a lot of fun. What are we going to do next month?
Your call. Because we can either do another Caped while we sort this out. We can do another one of these. I don't really want to burn another one, but.
No, I think we could go back to Caped next month.
What are you thinking?
Is it time to change the power dynamic in the DC universe?
What does that mean?
Well, that's what The Rock was always saying, that the power dynamic in the DC universe is about to change.
Black Adam, and you realize, like, I keep resisting it for a reason.
The only reason I keep going back to Black Adam is because it's the next movie in the DCEU, so we can finally put it in the ground. They don't get much better from here.
You're not wrong at all. Yeah, fine.
We don't have to.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to leave everybody on a bit of a cliffhanger here. We're either going to talk about Black Adam,
or
if I can get it, and there's a chance I can get it, the 1990 Captain America.
Oh, that would be a lot of fun. I'm into that.
So you're going to have to stay tuned next month to see which one it's going to be.
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
Until then, thank you guys for being here. Thank you for your dollars.
Brian, I'm a little upset you didn't mention my Tromaville Health Club shirt that I've had on this entire time.
You have been wearing a Troma Club Health Club t-shirt. Beverage must be kicking in.
It must be. Unreal.
Tromaville Health Club. I knew you were going to be wearing the shirt before I even logged into our call here. So,
superhero from New Jersey. Why wouldn't I buy this shirt?
The first superhero from New Jersey.
Goddamn right. It's the most original. Appropriate superhero from New Jersey.
Fucking Tromaville.
Didn't even say gabagool once. It's a stereotype and it's offensive.
Hey, guess what? We just said it. Gabagool.
Apologies to all the Italians out there. Say hi to your mother for me.
If you want to send us an email like and a Phil, gravy. You can send it to beermeamoviepod@gmail.com or katepodcasters@gmail.com. We monitor both still.
Still.
So however you're feeling that day.
You guys really are the best. Thank you for sticking with us month after month, year after year. I hope you guys like this. This was a lot of fun to do, a lot of fun to talk about.
It's a ton of fun.
If it goes forward, yeah, we'll tighten it up, obviously. We have no clue what we're fucking doing on this thing.
Yeah, we're just getting a feel for it.
We're just spitballing, seeing what's going to stick.
Exactly.
You should see the list of B-movies.
There's some real interesting things on there.
I can't wait.
Very exciting.
Maybe stay tuned. Maybe stay tuned. Brian, do you have anything else?
No, that is it for me.
Fantastic. We're going to see everybody next month for either the 1990 Captain America movie, if I can get it, or the DCEU?
I think that's it, yeah.
The DCEU's Black Adam. But until then, keep your blood fake, your boobs real, and your booms out of the shot.